This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio. Theatre, film, TV and more. Susie Rong reviews it all on Joy Drive.
Good afternoon, Susie Rong.
Hey, Warren, do you remember enjoying your teenage years?
Parts of it, yeah, definitely. Did you enjoy yours?
I was watching the movie and I thought, actually, my teenage years weren't probably too bad. Like, I kind of forgot a lot of the details, especially in terms of the friendships that I did have. And actually, I did have good friends. And this was from watching this week's movie. But in general, I kind of walk around thinking I had such a bad, terrible time growing up in Singapore. But actually, I did have really nice dates.
That's really interesting, Susie, that you say that, because I think I tend to look at my teenage years with a bit of doom and gloom sometimes as well. But today, and Catherine, if you're listening, hello, in Mansfield, sent me, who used to be a really good friend of mine in primary school and high school, sent me a photo of when we were kids. And there's friends in there. And I just thought, I forgot about them. Like, I had a really cool group of friends at that point. And I've completely lost touch and forgotten about them. And you're right. Sometimes, Susie, we forget about that and we focus on perhaps the things that we remember the most, which were the traumatic stuff.
Yeah, but I wouldn't want to go back there for a second, to be honest.
No, you can hop in the time machine. I'm not going anywhere. But we're talking about a movie, and the movie is called Bottoms.
I just love that title, don't you?
I've got a question, Susie. I've got a question for you, but I'll wait till you tell us about it. Tell us what you thought. Bottoms.
Best friends PJ and Josie are terribly unpopular at their high school. Subsisting at the bottom social rung, however, does not mean that their hormones would stop raging. And we see the pair of young, horny lesbians going to great lengths to lose their virginity ASAP. The absurdist American comedy Bottoms, now streaming on Amazon Prime Video, is a wild ride. And although I did not find it wildly hilarious, it is a delightful film with great characters and a charming, ironic wit. PJ and Josie establish a fight club at school, ostensibly for female solidarity, but really they are just starved of attention and are trying to become popular and hopefully get laid before college. They both have crushes on girls who are much more high profile and conventionally attractive. So watching a couple of nerdy queers compete against high school jocks for these hot chicks is literally something we have never seen before. Bottoms is highly original and an entertaining watch. Probably funnier for younger audiences than for us two Gen Xers trying to talk about it on the wireless. Nonetheless, it is wonderfully imaginative and bold, slightly subversive in its representations of girls and women. The leads are very endearing. Actor Ayo Edebiri, who recently won a slew of awards for her work in The Bear, along with Rachel Sennett from The Idol, are very convincing as teenagers, both very quirky and very vivacious in this movie about underdogs finding their moment of glory. Bottoms is a teenage fantasy I believe to be very similar to the dreams of many queer people from when we were young, at least. We have all wanted to be part of the in crowd. We have all wanted to defeat the bullies. And it will come as no surprise that PJ and Josie do achieve dramatic success at the end of the story. Warren, I'm so envious of kids today for having movies like this to provide them with so much optimism, no matter how different they may feel in their real lives.
I agree. I've got one question. Why was it called Bottoms? I was expecting something totally different.
It's a cheeky title, but they do talk about them being at the bottom of the social ladder.
Oh, that's probably
And kind of feeling quite worthless and having to resort to these extreme measures to move up.
Oh, yeah, I enjoyed it, Susie. I have to be. I really enjoyed watching it. I thought it's so original. I've never seen anything like it. And I love the two lesbians, PJ and Josie. I think they remind me of a couple of friends of mine. And I think they were great. I loved it. I couldn't stop laughing at the. Who's the bomb lady? Is that Hazel? Hazel, I think her name is.
Yes. Yeah.
She was hilarious.
Yeah, they're great characters. They're really well performed. I think the jokes, I could see what they were doing. Some of it didn't really work for me, but it never stopped me from kind of really paying attention and watching the film. It was just so unusual in its tone and so unusual in the way it portrayed young women and girls and especially young queer people. And, you know, two of them called themselves lesbians, but the other women, like, they never kind of labeled themselves as such, but they were, I guess, unusual representations of young womanhood, which I really appreciated.
Imagine a world where we didn't apply labels to ourselves. What would that be like?
I wonder what they'll be like. And, you know, I was thinking, like we were saying earlier, about thinking back. And I think one of the big differences between myself and my friends was that I felt like we were all close and we were all having a good time at school, but I felt like they had nothing to hide. Or to me, they looked like they had nothing to hide, right? Because they were just being what looked like to me regular young people. But I walked around, obviously laughing and joking with them, but kind of never felt like I was able to be completely truthful about who I was at that stage. So in a way, I guess if they didn't have those labels, clearly, I would imagine that they had an easier time.
It's interesting because I loved the concept of the Fight Club and that, you know, the message the movie sends about, I suppose, the capability and the empowerment of women. I thought that was just great, really, really good. I loved it. And in some ways, it's very violent. And normally, Susie, I don't like a lot of violence in stuff, but there is a lot of blood and a lot of violence that you've got to admit. But kind of mixed with the comedy, it sort of, I don't know if, I don't want to say it waters it down a little bit, but or it makes it more palatable, but it just sort of balanced it out a little bit. So you could put up, the violence was sort of comical. Does that make sense?
Yeah, the humor is so out there. You wouldn't take any of it seriously, really. It's just the concept would kind of make sense in terms of, you know, just conceptually you think that, oh yeah, you know, it wouldn't be great if school was like this. Wouldn't it be great if we had friends like this? Wouldn't it be great if we were able to connect, with our kind of feelings of inadequacies or insecurities, and find a way to empower ourselves, which is how they did it. I mean, obviously, I don't know if people can empower themselves with Fight Clubs, but the truth is, if you find a way to feel strong, right? If you find a way to not be afraid of the bullies, find a way to not be intimidated by the conventional leaders of the pack, that would be a healthy thing.
How did, what, were you in the in crowd when you were in school?
A little bit, not too much.
Now, you're like the Susie Roll.
But back then we were sort of an in crowd, but there was sort of a more prestigious in crowd somewhere else.
Right.
Like
we were
not top of the rung, we were not top of the ladder, but we were certainly not the bottom. But you know, in a way that made it enjoyable. There was some, you know, fun, silly stuff that happened because of that. But within that social, group that I belong to, I often had to kind of not be myself in order to belong. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you kind of have to play by heterosexual rules. Like, they knew that I wasn't a straight person, but I wasn't allowed to kind of like, talk freely about what I wanted to look like, who I wanted to date, that sort of thing. You kind of have to be a little bit second fiddle, I guess, to the other people. And in the movie, you can see like these women who got together, they were allowed to be completely themselves. They didn't have to, because they were in a group, they didn't have to conform to a certain aesthetic, to a certain kind of language. And I think that's a new thing for teenage movies.
Bless you, Andrew. It's our newsreader in the corner. Hey, I was just thinking about it. You know how you were saying that, you know, you had to basically not be yourself in order to be the part of the in crowd. I mean, it just shows, doesn't it, the power of how much pressure there is to hide who we really are because of this desire to belong. It is so strong, Susie, that we pretend we're someone that we're not. And really,
yeah, this movie talks about bullying, and I was trying to think, oh, was I ever bullied? And I thought, no, I was a bit of an in-crowd, you know, I was in a bit of an in-crowd at the end of my school time. But at the very start, I remember in primary school, I was telling my father what had happened to me at school, how someone was kind of tormenting me. And he told me, oh, they're bullying you. That was the first time I heard the word bully. I think I was like 7 or 8 years old. So that happened really early. And I think what happened was I learned to not to aggravate these people, and I learned to kind of moderate my behavior so I don't put myself in danger, which is basically to say that you kind of stop being yourself completely, and because you know that some things that you do, some things you say are going to get you in trouble. So, and that's, you know, that would stay with us for years and years.
Did that turn you into a people pleaser, where you always like to keep everyone happy and not upset anyone?
I don't think I was ever a people pleaser, but I was certainly very conscious of how to keep safe. Like, what are the things that you have to do to kind of not get people annoyed with you? And I think all queer people will know, like, when you, especially in your mid late teens, it's an obsession. You just think that, oh, you can't wear that, you can't move like this, you can't say these words, you can't be seen buying these records because people are gonna. It's exhausting. It's like everything, but you become really good at it. And the better you are at it, the easier it is to be with the in crowd.
Exactly. And it's funny because we do learn that, don't we? We learn to be someone or to project an image as someone that we're not. It's not our true selves, to protect ourselves, to hide ourselves. But we become so good at it that, you know, in particular, I found in the workplace, in corporate world, it just became like a natural thing to do. This almost became believable that this was me. And then, of course, at the end of it, you just unravel and go, oh, I can't do this anymore. It's so exhausting. And it's time that I revealed who the real me was. But I was the same. And at school, Susie, you know what I did to overcome the bullying? Because the bullying was terrible. And I had the, you know, I was lucky. I had access to a gym and weight, and I built myself up so big that they were scared to do anything. They were so scared. They were like, oh, we better not mess with him. Little did they know, I didn't know how to swat a fly. I couldn't have done a thing. I would have slapped him across the face.
I think the physical, so I wish I was more that way. Like, I would have more kind of body confidence, not just in terms of how I look, but also body confidence in terms of be feeling like I can kind of hold my own a little bit. Like, you know, in your previous segment, kind of being learning to be scared of sports in general, kind of, you know, it turned me away from sport, and I suffered from not having the sort of physical ability. You know, you would think that, all right, if you see your child is being bullied, maybe send them to learn some martial arts or something. But in fact, I was so terrified of doing anything with my body that I just didn't have that kind of confidence until much later in life.
But Susie, let's fast forward to now. If someone came up and bullied you now, you'd know exactly what to do. Look out!
I literally scratched someone's eye out. The one time I was walking down Oxford Street late at night, back in the day when I was walking down Oxford Street late at night, this young woman from, you know, from, let's say, out of town, came up with her eyes completely like by huge satellite dishes, came up to me, grabbed me by my collar, and punched me in my chin. Gently, but enough so that my teeth cut into my lips and got me bleeding. And my instinct was to use my fingernails and push into her eyes. So I think I'm much better now at protecting myself.
And of course, we don't condone any violence, but that was that was self-defense, Susie.
Yeah, it was an instinctive thing. It's funny, you know, like, obviously I wouldn't have reacted the same way when I was a teenager, but somehow along the way you kind of just become stronger, more courageous, and you kind of learn that you have to stand up for yourself.
And intolerant of it. I must admit, I walked past a school not that long ago, and it was a secondary school, and the teacher was commenting at one of the students and went, oh, that earring is so gay. And I ripped through him, like, not but verbally, and pulled him aside and said, that's so inappropriate that you, as someone that kids look up to, as a guardian, of people that sets an example to use such language in a derogatory way. He was mortified. He thought I was going to make a big complaint to the education department or whoever it is, the powers that be. You know, but I didn't. I thought, no, I've said my piece. He'll think about it now, and hopefully he won't use that term again, because it just sends
the wrong message. This relates to the thing that we were saying about, you know, the things we learn about social acceptability. Like we know all these things we need to not do in order to keep ourselves safe, and then we turn these things onto other people. We inflict the same harm onto other people. And sometimes in the queer community as well, we're so used to these rules that we've taken on that are bad, and then we use them on other people. Like we look down on I think it still happens, like, you know, men who are too flamboyant or something. You know, and then we still think of that. We still turn up our noses at them and think that, oh, you know, can you be more normal or something like that? Yeah. And in this film, you can see there's none of that. All the girls, all the women are completely different, and they, you know, and they get together and they're harmonious, completely harmonious. And it's great. It's a new era. Hopefully, the young generation gets a lot less of the BS than we did.
Absolutely. Susie, I was going to say to you, that was called Bottoms. I don't know why it was called Bottoms. We reckon it was because they're the bottom rung of the social ladder. What is our homework for next week?
For the first time in over 2 years, we'll have an opportunity to look at the letter I in LGBTQIA when we take a look at the documentary Everybody that's come to Netflix recently to teach us about intersex experiences. So tune in to Everybody, and I'll see you next Tuesday. Bye-bye.
See you, Susie. And today's was Bottoms. You can catch it now. This is one of the songs from the movie.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.